The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, childcare is something that affects thousands of families right across the country, but behind it are the providers working day in, day out to keep things running. I'm delighted to be joined by three childcare operators here, each with their own business and perspective on the sector. And we'll be talking about how they run their services, the challenges that they're facing, and where they see the opportunities, both for their own businesses and for childcare more broadly. Delighted to be joined by Karen Klintz. She's from Tigers Childcare. You're welcome, Karen. Alec Flood is from Little Rainbows, and Ida Lane is from Treasures Montessori Preschool in Bray. You're all very welcome. So, Ida, maybe introduce yourself to us. Tell us who you are. Tell us what you do.
I run a very small, micro little preschool, 5-6 children. That was my choice in my family home. I started off as a childminder doing it with about 3-4 children. And then in 2009, when Ecky came in, I registered with TUSLA. I have been registered with my local childcare committee. And then I registered with TUSLA. They allowed me to take 6, so they put me as a sessional preschool. So I run that literally in my family home.
Okay. So this is ECCE?
ECCE only, yes. I do 3 hours each day.
And that's provided the government give they parents give
full funding
3 hours?
To the parents, yes.
Okay. Great. And how many children did you say you have?
At the moment, this year I have 5. I'm allowed to take 6.
And ages again?
From about 2 years, 8 months to about 5.5 years. Though I would, because I'm so small, I have a lot of people with children with additional needs. The children come to me, so some of them can stay till they're 6.
Okay. Okay, stay with us. Let's welcome Karen Klintz from Tigers Childcare. Karen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're quite a large operator in this space. You've got 34 centres. So a significant operation, Karen, and one I'm sure you've made your voice known at government tables, etc., when it comes to what you think is good and needed in the sector.
Absolutely. I didn't start with 34 centres, so...
Yeah, you started with one.
I started, yeah, with a bit like Ita, with 4 children in a classroom out in Glasnevin, but over 23 years... That's significantly grown to 34 centres. So we cater for about 3,500 children. We've about 600 staff at the moment. Yeah, so it's a large operation. And very much, I suppose, throughout the sector has changed significantly over the 23 years that I've been in it. So definitely been involved in steering government in the right direction as we've gone through that.
Okay. Tell me then what you offer. You know, what do you offer to parents then in these 34 centres? What's available? So walk us through what's on offer.
Yeah, so we do a mix of things. We have standalone preschools and after schools, and they're mainly based in community centres or schools. And then we also have full day care in large centres from babies of 4 months up until they finish kind of going into secondary school at about 13 years. So we've the whole realm of childcare available on site.
Okay. Stay with us, Karen, and we'll come back to some more of the minutiae around the operation of the business. Let's bring in our third guest. He's Alec Flood from Rainbow's Creche. Alec, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Bobby.
Now, as I understand it, you're part of, I think you run 4 yourself and an associate business runs another 3, is that correct?
No, we run 3 and the associate business runs 4. So,
okay.
Unlike Karen and Ida, I'm not a founder. So I got brought in through marriage. It's my wife, Monica Campbell, who is the founder. She started off with one child. in the service back in Fairview in 1992. So that's grown now to three centres, with just under 400 children. And since then, her two sisters have got involved in the sector, and they have four services between them. So it's very much a family
alliance.
So we operate under the one name of Little Rainbows, but we're certainly three separate entities, three separate businesses.
Okay. So when you say you've got 400 full-time places now, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we look after from 12 months up until about 5-6, until the child goes to school, and we various different groupings: wobbler, toddler, preschool. So we offer both the National Childcare Scheme, the NCS, and the ECHI scheme, which is the free preschool, which is 2 years just before they go to national school. So we're full daycare. So we operate from generally quarter to 8 in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
And two of our centres also have a combined service, which is after school service. So when ECHI kids may go home at 12 o'clock, then at about 1:30, 2:30, after school children will come in from the school. So we only operate if we have a local school nearby.
I meant to say before I introduced you all, if there's anybody wanted to send us in a text, we've got a panel of experts here on childcare. I see one here that I'll read out now in just a second. But get them into us here, because I've got the people here that will actually answer your question. Can you ask your panel about some creches seemingly randomly closing rooms in their creches due to staff issues? Literally within a week's notice, being told due to staff shortages, the room my child is in can't be staffed. So my child couldn't go for a week. This has happened twice in 1 year. And it comes in from, oddly, somebody named Karen. It's hardly yourself, Karen, is it?
No, it's not. I tell you what, though, you know, I could speak about this a lot. We're in an awful staffing crisis, so it's probably the hardest thing to do in the sector is to staff it. Paying conditions, you know, I suppose the sector has changed significantly over, you know, the past 15 years. So we went from a sector where, you know, you could work in early years without any qualification to a sector that's incredibly highly qualified. So it's a graduate-led sector now. And paying conditions haven't kept pace with that.
Well, let's dwell on that for a second, Karen, because that's a fundamental sort of dichotomy, let's call it. Because you can't expect level 8 people to be working for minimum wage.
Exactly.
You can't expect people to stay in a sector where they're effectively... So why not just put up the prices and pay people properly? If that's...
Yeah.
Like, you either pay people or you don't. Like,
that's exactly it. So previous to, I suppose, the government funding streams being in place, that's exactly what I would have done. So I was in charge of paying, you know, deciding what my colleagues were paid. And if they needed a pay increase, I would just put my fees up. But we're locked into, through core funding, which is the government funding scheme, we're locked in a fee freeze. So we're not allowed to put our fees up. And so what happens is we can't make a decision to pay our colleagues what we want.
But surely then closing down a service that somebody has paid for it has to be unacceptable.
Yeah, well, you have to return the fees as well. So they've paid for it and you give them their money back and you have to close because you don't have enough people to operate safely.
So nobody wins.
Absolutely nobody wins. And actually, the biggest loser is the child on the ground who doesn't have... To have quality childcare, you have to have the same people minding the same children, building relationships with them, understanding them. We don't have that in the sector at the moment. So I never closed a room pre-COVID. In my whole entire life, all my services, I had closed a room once for a morning after a break-in where there was smashed glass all over the room and it needed to be cleaned up. I am closing rooms on a daily basis across our 34 centres. It is an absolute crisis. The government funding isn't working. It's just not working. It's not providing quality on the ground.
Okay, I don't know what to say to that. I'm going to ask Alec Flood to come in on it.
Yeah, just the difficulty is the regulations come in 2016, and we need quality childcare, and that's a given, and we don't, you know, we don't deny that we need to be regulated, but the difficulty here is there has to be set ratios of, there has to be qualified adults present to look after a number of children. If for whatever reason, staff absences, sickness, you know, or just the unavailability of qualified staff, then that service can't
go
ahead.
You're saying is that if you opened a room that was inadequately staffed, you're breaking the law.
You're breaking the law. So, you know, it's the lesser of two evils is to close the room. So in our services, we've been very, very lucky in Little Rainbows, and we haven't closed any rooms because of lack of staff. We do that because we can rely on part-time staff and flexible staff who can come in on short notice. Now, as Karen pointed out, the policy, government policy, is to move towards a graduate-led workforce. So you can't get graduates. Graduates would like to work, you know, their 8 hours a day, their set times, and so there's less flexibility there. So what we have done is, Little Rainbows, we've opted out of core funding in two of our services, and that's given us the flexibility of actually employing more non-graduate staff. So level fives, level sixes, who work in the community, who live in the community, and who are flexible to work maybe 20 hours, 25 hours a week. And if needed, and at short notice, they're willing to come in and basically staff those rooms. So I guess it's how you manage it as a business owner, but It certainly, the government are making it more difficult because of regulations, because of the financing, because of government policy to have a graduate-led workforce.
I don't want to get mired down. I said it at the start. I didn't want to get mired down in the whole government legislation. But and I feel like I haven't really asked you about what I wanted to ask you about. Like, what's it like? What's the business like? You're obviously somebody, and you probably need a vocation.
Yes, you do.
You're minding, you know, the world's most precious thing. And I'm sure, tell me about dealing with parents must be interesting.
Parents, well, I'm very fortunate because we are so small. I'm talking with the parents. Parents are into my home every single day.
Yeah.
They sit, come in as they come through. We're in the back garden. So they walk through into the back garden, stand around, chat and talk. I'm able to build up a really good relationship with them. I'm able to call into their house if I need to, if there's something. If there are any difficulties with things, we work together. We work together with different agencies to get as much help as we can for their child, which is very hard sometimes.
But you're in that, and I won't say it's a lovely space, but you're in that space where you're very close to the business because you're hands-on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Know every moving part that's happening.
Absolutely, every single thing. Have to,
you know. Whereas Karen, I'm sure you'd sometimes wish for that you could be at every dogfight. But in terms of the, I mean, maybe this is fair to say that there are, like I'm reading here, there's five different government policy or initiatives of funding: ECCE, NCS, core funding, access and inclusion model, AIM, an equal start. So is there too many bits and pieces here of schemes, and would we be much better off with one scheme that covered everything, Karen?
I think the schemes aren't the issue, right? They do a good job. So the Affordable Childcare Scheme is amazing. For the first time, it's allowed every child to access childcare, you know, regardless of their family background, their family income, they can now. And core funding, as you know, isn't a bad thing. It's ring-fenced money that's to go to pay within the sector. The problem is they're just not funded high enough. So we're spending 0.2 to 0.3% of our GDP in early years when the recommendation average is 1%. So the schemes are not bad. They're just not funded high enough to allow us to really solve the problems of the sector. And that's really where the crux of the problem is. You know, we have a government that's worried about putting money in the back pocket of providers such as ourselves, when all of their research has said that this is not an industry that's making a lot of money on a side-by-side basis. And the government hold back that money worried about that problem rather than actually, you know, funding the sector adequately to be able to keep the biggest problem in the sector is colleagues, not enough colleagues. working in the sector, and that gives problems to access and people being able to access good quality childcare.
Alec, what about that fundamental, I suppose, it's always there. If I pay the provider too much, he lines his pockets. You hear it around builders, developers. If the government comes in with a scheme, the business owner somehow puts it in their back pocket. Like, you're a business, you're there to make profit. I don't think you're you're not saying anything other than that.
No, I guess, like all businesses out there and all business owners, we need profit to survive. I suppose what marks the childcare sector as slightly different is that we're not profit driven, in that we can't maximize our profits, you know, like other businesses, because in the end of the day, you know, we are part of the community. It's a service that we offer. And therefore, one is the child safety, how we look after the children, and that affordability for parents is paramount. Because, you know, we have to take a certain amount to be able to look after our staff, to pay our staff a proper wage. As I say, there's inflationary pressures out there for everybody, parents included. And we have to kind of continually invest in our centres in terms of, like, only recently there in the last month now, we've put in air conditioning into one of our centres that didn't have it before. You know, things are changing. We're now more concerned about keeping our buildings cool in summer, not necessarily heated in winter. So there's a certain amount of profit needed to grow and expand our services. But in the end of the day, we can't gild the lily and take advantage of things, because then, you know, parents would go elsewhere. Parents have, especially in rural locations, may have family structures around them and they have alternatives. There is a huge demand for childcare out there. And what we would like to do is actually grow and expand our business to service that and then keep costs down through economies of scale.
Let's have a look at another couple of texts. There's a lot of them coming in. Ida, maybe help me with this one. I think creches need more support. They're keeping the country going by facilitating childcare while parents work. That comes in from Jess. Creche workers, in my experience, are amazing. They are a vital service. All my three children were in creche, and we still send Christmas presents, even though the last one finished 3 years ago. That comes from Joe. Now, here's one that's not so nice. Whenever I hear creche owners on the radio, they're always moaning. Surely they are making money or they wouldn't be doing it.
Okay. I've been working in ECHI. Our fees have been frozen since we started. Sorry, ECHI. I've worked in ECHI and our fees have been frozen. I've been earning €4 something per hour per child since 2010.
Yeah.
And that's now 2026.
So what you very honestly say, Ida, is you barely make a living out of what
you're
doing.
I don't make a living. Yeah. I mean, I can be very honest with how much I bring in. I've no problem because it's there. You work out the figures. I get about 21,000 a year. Out of that, everything comes out of it. So insurance, rent a kill, paying for CPD, paying extra to my staff. I will come out with roughly about €8,000 a year.
Yeah.
Working for a year, working, and I pay tax on that.
So you're not moaning, you're just telling it as
I'm
it is.
I'm telling it as it is.
And
straight.
Fair play to you, I'd say. Because that's what I meant when I said it's a vocation.
Yeah, yeah.
People like you who are in the business, and you're never going to make anything out of it.
No, when I look at the cost now, it costs you, say, even just going for your coffee. So parents saying, I'm going for a coffee. I'm going, that's nice. So it costs about, years ago, it was like you could get a fiver for your soup and your coffee. Now it's €12. But I'm still on the money I was when it was €5.
Yeah, no, that makes...
But I still have to invest and invest and invest. So I'm getting less and less and less.
Karen, before we close out, is there any solution that you can give me around the HR thing, around maybe making conditions better to retain and attract people to work in the sector? Because that seems to be the fundamental issue here.
Absolutely. And before, you know, governments put money into it, they want to open new services, and there's no point in doing any of that until you get the staffing right. We need a proper pay scale. one that somebody coming out of university can look down the road in 15 years' time and they know what they're going to be earning. And that pay scale needs to be funded by the state.
So they should be, like, should they be paid the same as teachers?
Absolutely. They're working longer hours, longer periods of time, with children at a period of their life that's incredibly important, that sets them up for the rest of their life, and the professionals, and they need to be paid in that fashion. Otherwise, we're going to continue to hemorrhage people out. They come and they train for 4 years in this, and they go and they work an administrative role that they don't need any qualification for. We need to value the early years of our children, and if you value it, you pay for it. If you asked any parent in the land, do they want 200 euro childcare, or do they want childcare that, you know, has a really good effect on their children, they would pay extra to make sure their children are having the best they can. And at the moment, they're not. They're not getting that good experience.
And the staff turnover also feeds into the cost of running the business, which ultimately the consumer pays.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can imagine with 600 colleagues, we have a huge HR team constantly hiring all of the time, you know. And of course, there'd be, if you know, we stabilise the sector, there'd be a huge saving for me. You know, that goes without saying. But it's the biggest, you know, when we look at, you listen to someone like Ida, you know, that is, people are doing this because they're passionate about what they're doing. They care about the children. That, you know, that's what's keeping them hooked in here. But people are on their knees at this stage, you know, and something needs to change, and it needs to change quickly.
Maybe last quick word to you, Alec.
Yeah.
So give us something positive on the sector. We want to go out on a high note here.
You know, look, there are lots of problems. We're all different working towards trying to find solutions. The only thing I would say is that, like, in fairness to the government, they have increased investment in the sector year on year. They have been, you know, looking to make revisions, to looking to reduce the administrative burden. They have made policy, you know, promises in terms of the 200 euros a month childcare. What we really need to see is more action. You know, currently the investment is just over 1.3 billion, but it needs to be much,
right,
much higher.
We'll leave it there. Well, look, it's a sector where I'm sure we'll return to. I didn't mean to be negative. I've just had a new granddaughter and she's going to be attending your services. So I want to thank you all. Karen Clinch, Alec Flood and Ida Lane. Thanks so much for letting us into your world this morning.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr. Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. Forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.